And welcome back to Behind the Lens as we kick off year 11. I know it's been a little while since Christmas. Hope you haven't forgotten about us. I'm Debbie Elias, film critic, creator, and host of Behind the Lens, where we go behind the lens and below the line with those movers and shakers, the film and TV makers, those producers, directors, writers, actors, cinematographers, costume designers, production designers, film editors, sound editors, sound mixers, VFX gurus, who am I missing? Composers, and just anybody else that has anything to do with making content for you for television and for film. I'm thrilled to be back. I was hoping to start off year 11 a little earlier on January 13th, but because of the California wildfires, I deemed it, number one, inappropriate to do so in the midst of a catastrophe such as that. And also because I don't want talent to have to worry about anything other than their safety, their evacuation status, and their families. So as things get more normal, as people are finding housing, as they're getting situated, I'm hoping within the coming weeks I'll have live talent for us. But for right now, what I'm going to do is, in order to get the ball rolling and keep Behind the Lens on your radar, I'm going to do pre-recorded shows with pre-recorded interviews, as you've heard many times before, generally with a pre-record and a live guest on the show. But what I'm doing differently for now is these pre-recorded shows will not air on Adrenaline Radio. You will find them. They will pop out on Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time on the Behind the Lens YouTube channel. Also on Podbean, which from there it goes out to all the different podcast platforms, as has been happening for quite a while now, as well as being on BehindTheLensOnline.net website. When I do have live guests for a show, that will be in studio, the Adrenaline Radio Studio in Whittier. And you'll be able to, if you so desire, to watch the weird-looking Mevo video that owner Nick likes for some reason and airs the show on his Facebook page. Don't ask. I still haven't figured this out. But I'm going to keep going ahead. We're going to do pre-records, and I'll give the usual teasers on all the social media platforms, and then everything will, of course, be available thereafter permanently on YouTube, on BehindTheLensOnline.net, and through Podbean and all of the various platforms, including Apple, iTunes, whatever. All of them have it. So, I hope you understood all of that. But I'm very excited to kick off year 11. And also, this weekend, February 1st, kicked off my 43rd year as a film critic. It has been wonderful working as a critic, giving you reviews and interviews and red carpets for the past 42, now starting 43 years. And I hope to be doing it, maybe not for another 43, but for quite a while to come, if you bear with me and you still want me around. So it's very exciting to be kicking off the second decade of the show and also my 43rd year as a critic. And of course, if I'm going to kick off the show with a pre-recorded interview, well, I'm going to kick it off with what I love best, sharks. Yes, indeed. Last week, I got to speak with director Christian Sesma and talk with him about his new film, Into the Deep. It's sharks. Sharks and pirates and sunken treasure and drugs and people that really shouldn't be out on the water. But they are. And I love the story. The story is the tale of this couple, Cassidy and Greg. As a young girl, Cassidy saw her father eaten by sharks. So she has been petrified of sharks her entire life. Here she is now older, married, maybe getting over her fear of the water, getting over her fear of sharks by going on this trip to Thailand with her husband. Throughout her life, her grandfather, played by the wonderful Richard Dreyfuss, who is an environmentalist, has tried to cure her fear of sharks with the great philosophy that sharks, fish, all the sea life, that is their home. And when we wander into it, dive into it, swim in it, we're in their home. And you have to respect that and how they act and react. So it's, and this theme follows through in the film. And playing opposite Scout is Kellan McGowan, who plays her husband, Greg. Wonderful performance by Stuart Townsend as Greg's friend, Ben's, on whose boat they are going out on off the coast of Thailand to swim, to look around, maybe see sharks, who knows. And then we got our pirate, John Seda, as the character of Jordan, a pirate who is also an ex-Navy SEAL. So go figure. But Cassidy and Greg are having a wonderful time on their cruise with Ben's on his fishing boat when they were approached by a small yacht. And I mean small. And on it is Jordan and his men, and they are pirates, and they are looking for sunken drugs in that general area. They kidnap everybody on the boat, on Ben's boat, and then force them all to dive into the shark-infested waters to retrieve the contraband that is down there. 90% of this film is underwater or in the water. Actually, I think it's a little more. I think Christian is conservative in his estimates. A good portion of the film was shot 50 meters below the surface of the water. It is action-packed. What I love is the cinematic aspects of this film. And that was something very important to Christian, as you're going to hear him talk about in this interview. And it's something he had to face with the challenges and the creative decisions he made. Because it was shot primarily underwater, this required skilled underwater cinematographers and camera operators. Luckily, they're there in Thailand thanks to our boots-on-the-ground producer for this film, Damon Hillen. Damon, many of you, I'm sure, have heard my interviews with Damon before, or one of his frequent collaborators, Brandon Slagle. Damon has an entire film industry, film complement set up in Thailand. So a lot of his films, a lot of Brandon's films, are shot over there because you've got trained people, you've got the facility setups there, and Christian is taking advantage of that with Into the Deep. So having somebody experienced like Damon as his producer, tremendous, tremendous help, especially with a film like this. Many of you may know Christian's work, 72 action films, 72 Hours, Lights Out with Frank Grillo, Section 8 starring Dolph Lundgren and Dermot Mulroney, Pay Dirt with Luke Goss and Val Kilmer, Take Back. They're all action-packed. They all get violent. They're all on land. Into the Deep marks Christian's first dive into water as a filmmaker. No pun intended. The script is written by Chad Law and Josh Ridgway. and it's solid. The dialogue fits with the action. The action fits with the story. And what is very interesting is Christian and I go through the process of his making Into the Deep. His considerations. He had to find actors who could handle the physical demands of underwater, who also were game to do stunt work. And they didn't have to know how to swim, and they were taught a degree of diving. For the 50 meter down sequences, there were stunt divers that he had to find. But one of his biggest casting dilemmas, he had to have an actress who could carry out the emotional core of the story as Cassidy, because she's dealing with trauma, but then she's also got to step up to the plate and face her fears and be capable at action and with diving and swimming. He has done an amazing job bringing this small ensemble together. And all are believable in their parts. And all are really enjoyable to watch. But Scout Taylor Compton as Cassidy, you really become invested in her journey. We stay in her POV. And that is one of the most compelling aspects of the film. And that's in large part thanks to the cinematographer, Niccolo De La Ferri, who's done Operation Blood Hunt, 3 Days in Malay, which was Brandon Slagle film starring Louis Mandalore. So Niccolo knows, he knows the waters, he knows the area, he knows the lighting. And as you're going to hear Christian's talk in the interview, there were often some issues with lighting because of the boat moving. So try blocking your shots when the boat has a mind of its own and is moving. It's a very interesting interview as Christian talks about what he was looking for in terms of his scoring from Andy Fosbury. And we spend a bit of time talking about his editor, Eric Potter, because of the challenges of the editing of this film. Now, one of the big things in this film is the end of the film, are the end credits. These are not your usual end credits. So wherever you are watching this film, be it at home, on your couch, on your watching it on TV, on your computer, or if you're in a theater, watch it to the end, because the end, it's more or less a split screen. Richard Dreyfuss speaks to us about sharks and the movement to protect sharks, because there are so many problems with sharks being killed for shark fins, for shark fin soup, a lot of Asian delicacies. It is a very informative and impassioned talk that he gives. It's like a TED talk. And it's well worth listening to, and you'll learn some things after being thoroughly entertained for this entire film. So without any further ado, I'm going to stop blabbering, and I'm going to let you listen to my exclusive interview with Christian Sesma talking about Into the Deep. Hi.
Hey, baby, how are you?
I'm fine, Christian. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It's always a good day when I get to talk to a filmmaker about a shark movie. I love my shark movies.
Awesome.
And I love this movie, Into the Deep.
I'm glad.
I'm such an admirer of your work anyway. Pay Dirt and Section 8, 72 Hours, I just love beyond belief. Lights Out with Grillo. I am a huge admirer of your work. So to see you move,
thank you.
So to see you move into the open sea and underwater is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a totally new sandbox to play in.
So, how was that sandbox from a directorial standpoint?
It was obviously challenging. challenging. I mean, 90% of this was shot on or underneath the water, literally. I mean, we were out on boats for weeks and weeks doing this, and so it was literally challenging, very claustrophobic, because, I mean, there's not a lot of space, there's not a lot of this, so it was challenging for that. So I think the trick here for me was, how do I make a film that still feels open and has some cinematic, like, space and scope, but really you were shooting it in, like, it's almost like a one-room house, like a house movie, where you shoot it all in one house.
Yeah.
So it was technically like that.
For you, this is a learning curve once you start going underwater. For any filmmaker that goes from dry land to the sea.
Definitely, yeah. Having a really good underwater aquatic cinematographer was key for this, and we had a really good crew out there in Thailand, and so these guys and my DP was phenomenal and his team was great, so we were able to kind of mix and match a lot of technical things here to what I want is like a really I approached it like an action film in a way, almost like an action thriller. Mm-hmm. I didn't approach it like a creature feature, so I was like, guys, I want a handheld vibe underwater, things like that, so just different ideas here that we were trying to play with.
Well, you definitely pulled it off because it feels like an action film first and foremost.
Yeah.
You did really well with Niccolo as your DP because I know his work from working with Brandon Slagle.
Exactly.
Niccolo's work, especially 3 days in Malay, was and Battle for Saipan were just brilliant in terms of action and handheld work. So
yeah, he's really good.
And on those ships, especially, not the pirate ship, the pirate yacht, shall we say.
Yeah.
It was fancy for
exactly.
A pirate ship. But on the regular dive ship that Ben's had, very close quarters, narrow, very narrow decking, and with all the accoutrement on deck, even less space. So you've got to worry about your actors navigating. I imagine it was not very easy to block shots out on deck.
Well, actually, it actually is. It's funny. It's like, intuitively, you feel like it wouldn't be, but it actually is because there's only so much you can do. So I think the blocking kind of spilled out over. So it's kind of like where you're shooting scenes on the deck. I was making sure to get out of the boat and put somebody in the water, shooting from the water towards the deck, things like that. So it was funny. It's like the actors blocking was kind of easy because they couldn't do too much. But I think the camera blocking was definitely better.
The camera, and then, of course, your actors, you just have to worry about insurance and them falling and breaking something.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Because there are so many a lot of filmmakers don't realize. I mean, you're experienced enough. You know this. But they don't think about the cost of insurance and the hazards that come into play. And that impacts your budget exponentially.
Right. Exactly.
So I look at a film like this and I'm thinking, oh my God, we've got action happening, number one. We're on the water. We're in the water. And I'm thinking, insurance went to half the budget on this one. But you've got a great blend here with Niccolo's work up on top of the deck, underwater. Talk to me about that underwater cinematography. And your main, your camera operator down there, Andreas.
Yeah, Andre, as we call him, he was really great. That was a real scuba excursion. I mean, we really went down to the shipwreck, And then what we also did is recreated the hull of a piece of that shipwreck in water tanks in Bangkok, in like large water tanks, and we're able to shoot that for like the matching close-up shots. So, our stunt doubles and things like that were in the scuba gear that went down to the shipwreck. Because the shipwreck was like 50 meters down. It's really far.
Wow.
Obviously our stars couldn't do that. I mean, they did basic scuba diving, but they couldn't do extreme scuba diving. So we were having to really kind of make sure that I'm mapping these things out and we're using, the correct stunt doubles and, matching shots for the close-ups and CG to match some fish and things like that. So yeah, it was a really challenging, really fun way to kind of, like you said, play in a new sandbox, knowing that a lot of this was going to be underwater.
a big part of that. And it also crosses over from underwater to above water. You got to come up from air and get the flesh out of your teeth when you're a shark. So you've got, I have to compliment you on the CG, on the visual effects for the sharks underwater. At a distance, when they're swimming,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, I'm like, look, you know, we obviously didn't have a big budget. We didn't have a lot of time, a lot of this, a lot of the toys. But I was like, if we can get the money shots with some really good VFX, I'll be happy. I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, I feel like 90% of the VFX shots are really, really good. And then, you know, obviously there's some that I'm like, but then that's also going to be said in some giant studio movies. I'm like, that's not that really good VFX for $100 million.
You didn't have $100 million, so...
No, we didn't.
I think one of the best money shots you have, it's actually two money shots, is where we've got Cassidy down in the water. She takes off the breathing apparatus.
Yep, absolutely.
And is staring at the shark, and the shark is slow, and you're cutting back and forth.
Yep.
And
yeah,
he's getting...
favorite.
Oh, my God. And he's getting closer and closer. And then, when she reaches out...
Yep.
That gave me chills.
That's the idea.
And it was so exquisite. It's such an exquisite moment.
Yeah. And I think that's something I was trying to do, that shots like that, moments like that, aren't really a part of this subgenre of movies.
Right.
You know, they're really kind of... In reality, that wasn't in the script either. It was really like the shark was supposed to attack Cassidy at the end. I was like, why don't we have our like Luke Skywalker moment here and have our cathartic moment here, where everything that she's learned from Dreyfus kind of comes to fruition. And, you know, anybody who knows anything about sharks is that you have to look at them head on.
Yep.
You can't swim away. You can't make splashes. So if you look at the sharks head on and you're able to divert them via their nose, they'll just swim away. And I did so much shark research on this, and that's how you do it. I had so much footage of, like, tiger sharks, great whites, this, that, the other, and how scuba divers are able to kind of just push them away through their nose and making sure that they have to be dead on with them.
Look them dead in the eye.
Yeah, exactly. You have to.
Even though their eyes are a little off to the side, you know, but that is such a powerful moment in the film, and it really complements, and it is a fulfilling moment given the bookending of the film with the opening. And of course, then that beautiful, beautiful talk that Dreyfus has during the entire closing credits. Wow.
Yes. And that was something that we had agreed to before making this is, you know, he really had a moment with Jaws where him and the writer felt really responsible for a kind of ecological disaster and how the decimation of the shark population due to Jaws. So he was like, look, if I'm going to do this also, I'd love to put some sort of message at the end where, look, the sharks aren't the bad guys. And I think that's the other difference with this movie. It's like, yes, they do damage, but they aren't really the villains in this movie. You know, they really just so happen to be in the water. And, you know, the pirates are the villains.
Yes.
You know, and the sharks are just doing what sharks do. And that's why at the end, it wasn't, a shark just goes away and just goes about its life. Like a shark would.
You know, the sharks, you know, number one, they were obviously hungry. Yeah. Number two, you have humans who are being idiots.
Yeah.
In terms of screaming, crying, pirates wielding guns and machetes. Sharks can sense all of that.
Right, exactly.
So they're going to go for it. So
right.
The shark...
Totally, I agree.
And they actually, they were helping Cassidy. Let's just cut to the chase.
Yeah, they were on her side.
And that's why that moment in the film is so important.
I think so. I mean, I think, like I said, I mean, we've all seen all the shark movies from Sharknado to Jaws and everything in between.
Yep.
And again, for me, I was like, look, if I'm going to play in this sandbox, I'm going to take a couple swings here that aren't really the norm. I'm going to try to do a little something different here, good, bad, or ugly, and I'm going to stand by it. And I think that moment I love.
You did a really terrific job with Into the Deep, Christian.
Thank you.
I am so, so impressed by it. And I think I've seen every shark movie known to mankind.
Good.
Including Sharkula, where the shark turns into Dracula.
Wow, that's insane.
And it's actually quite entertaining and hilarious.
Right.
The authenticity, really, of the visuals, the underwater visuals. And then when we come up on top, and the action sequences you have, damn, these were not easy, because you've got full-on chase scenes.
Yeah.
Happening within the boats, on multiple layers of the boats. You've got the knives. You've got a lot of man-on-man. A lot of man-on-man combat.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of obviously like my bread and butter there. Where yeah. I'm already comfortable being able to do those kind of sequences. So.
Now, you get all of these great sequences. You're also telling, Chad has once again given you a great script.
Yes, definitely.
Chad and Josh did a great job, and I know that you've directed Chad's stuff before quite a few times.
Yeah.
But you get this great footage. You get this incredible VFX, wonderful sharks. And then this goes into the hands of your editor, Eric, who Eric's cut a ton of your stuff. So how challenging was the edit on this one when you've got to balance the pace? And yeah. Your pace underwater, just the basic movement, is much slower than what's above the water. So that's right. going to impact the pace of the film. So right. how challenging was the editing process on this one working with Eric?
Well, Eric, like I said, luckily him and I have a really good working relationship. Yeah. We've done so many movies together. And I think the challenge on this one, being that it isn't an action film, it's a thriller, was how to balance the Dreyfus flashbacks where it doesn't get draggy. And I understand, like, we obviously have to have enough Dreyfus in this so it doesn't feel like, oh, we have a guy in here for a day and then he were just stretching right. him out for 2 minutes and he's gone. I mean, he's really present throughout the whole film. But, it's like, how do we balance the flashbacks and about really the core story of Cassidy dealing with trauma? And again, this is how I approached the movie. I approached it as Cassidy. It's a person dealing with trauma and her cathartic moment versus just sharks doing shark stuff, So I think I just approach it that way. So I think that was just balancing that moment of underwater stuff and balancing Dreyfus's flashback. So it felt that we're still moving the story forward, but we're also kind of giving it some moments to breathe, aka the genre of thriller versus the genre of action.
Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely keep us in Cassidy's POV.
Yes.
We never forget that she is the one. She watched her father get eaten by a shark as a little girl, and she has had this fear of sharks, which is really interesting considering when you see the flashbacks and you understand her grandfather's tie-in as an environmentalist and an expert on the sea. So to have a granddaughter with this petrifying fear.
Right.
So we can feel that. Her fear is very palpable throughout the film, Christian.
I think she did a great job.
Oh my God. Scout did an amazing job with this performance, which begs the question, what led you to casting her as Cassidy? Because she just is wonderful.
Scout came via the producer, Damon. And
figured.
We were casting and we had Damon Hill and Wright. And then I brought on Dreyfus. I'd worked with Dreyfus. I brought Dreyfus on. I brought Callum on, John on. And we were, and Scout was in the mix of it. And I said, look, there's two things I needed. Not just somebody that can, Scout's the screen queen, right? So mm-hmm. she's coming from the horror genre, which is already a plus. But also just Scout as a person, I needed somebody that can physically, literally do all the stuff that Cassidy needed to do in this movie, which is, she really is, she's all over the place. I mean, she's yeah. in the water, underwater, in cages, under this. I mean, she's really getting tossed and turned about, and I really needed somebody that had the courage and bravery as an actor to just go for it, and Scout had that, and I was like, this is great. You have the a certified screen queen that's also game to really move at an action film pace, if yeah. that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, because that's how I would approach, any action star. I'm like, okay, let's go, if I was working with Scott Atkins or Grillo or whatever, hey, guys, let's go do this, let's go do that. We need this shot, we need that shot. Jump off this, safely, obviously, but Scout had to be treated the same way would treat any, you know, male action star, and she was game, 100% for it, to do the Scooby stuff, do as much stunts as she could, and she did great. I think she really holds it down.
She really does, and she outshines the guys push comes to shove. And seeing her going toe-to-toe with John Saita's character of Jordan, who is an excellent villain, by the way.
Yeah.
Watching them go toe-to-toe is really interesting. But what you also do is she's got a great chemistry with Callum McGowan, who plays Cassidy's husband, Greg. So you had so many casting factors that you had to consider here, which begs the question, was it difficult to get an ensemble like this and get the chemistry that you needed for the various pairings and dynamics?
This is what I have to definitely credit. So my management and my manager, Matt Luber and Luber Rockland Entertainment, they have just a great roster of actors and working actors from TV to film. And this is one of those things where it was packaged together by my team over there, and we were looking for the right people that, again, like Scout, were not just obviously up to go have some fun in Thailand, but really up for the physicality of, it's going to be on boats, we're going to be underwater, we're going to be doing a lot, we're going to be, and that's anybody who kind of knows me and by now knows that I work very quickly as a director, and I, again, approach it like an action film, if you will. So John was game, and I've obviously known John's work from Selena to the Pacific to La Brea, even at everything. Just a great actor, right? And I think that and then Callum's work from TV as well, and I was looking for kind of, some up-and-comer in Callum, right? Mm-hmm. And I needed somebody that had some real empathy for Cassidy, but also the bravery. And also I needed to have the right kind of masculinity that allows Cassidy to be who she is, and also just as an actor, allows her to be the center stage of this kind of movie, is what she is. This is her movie.
Yeah.
So I think it was a mix and match. And John had a really fun time. He never had the chance to play a bad guy. And I kind of always approached it like, hey, I want you to be like, Lorenzo Denzel in Training Day. Let's be like this. So that kind of thing.
Stuart Townsend, I just thought, was just fantastic. I love...
Yeah, so Stuart's a friend of the producer.
Of Damon's?
Stuart, I said, yeah, absolutely. I go, bring him on. So Stuart was just a late addition to the party that really just rounded out a great ensemble. I mean, you have a lot of really great actors.
Yeah, and what I love about Stuart as Benz, he brings a lighter note to the trauma, to the tension. We get, maybe it's his accent, but he brings a lighter note when Cassidy's freaking out over the shark cage. And he's like, okay, oh, no worries. Cover it up. Put it away.
Right.
But I really like the vibe that he infuses into, and even coming abreast of the pirates. And, of course, I never would have let them come on the ship. But, I don't think you would either. We're at your ship.
Right.
But I thought he was a really nice addition to the heavier emotionalities of this film, of the script.
Yeah, I felt like Stuart's character is, Ben's is like an innocent bystander that gets caught up in the wrong day, wrong time kind of thing. I mean, really, out of everyone, it kind of felt, he was like, oh man, this is the wrong day that this happened. I mean, he just always felt that way. So he was always clocking everything as it happened, but always just kind of, he was just trying his best here.
Now, I've got to ask you about the score and your composer, Andy Fosbury. I know Andy's work from, and I say it's the hilarious horror film, Croc, which just so over the top and hilarious.
Yeah.
But what were you looking for from Andy with the score for Into the Deep?
Andy had, when we were auditioning, we were looking for composers. Since this whole thing was, all post-production was handled in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And so Andy came across our desk. They submitted him, and he had it wasn't part of his feature score. He had in music from his own personal library of him as a musician.
Yeah.
And it was edgy and hard and moody, and it wasn't anything like some of the other stuff that he did on some stuff. I was like, wow, this is really good. And so, we had a discussion. I said, look, I'd like to approach it this way. you know, heavy, moody, this, any other. I kind of, he obviously heard the temp score that we temp this to and things. And also just, he knew some of the music choices that we were going to make for the montages and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that he wrote me some, like a prelim temp score to a scene, and I thought he nailed it. I said, this will be great. And I thought he did a great job.
I was very impressed because this is such a different movie than,
right,
you know, Croc or even Easter Bunny Massacre, which if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it.
Right.
Now, I want to circle back to Niccolo's work in the cinematography for a moment and your use of extreme close-ups, your use of ECUs. I love the way you have used the ECUs here, concentrating on the hand-to-hand moments,
right,
the knife, the knee, the arm.
I'm so glad that you said that because I got pushback from that, and I was like, guys, they were like, we need the other person's POV. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm like, let's stay on Callum.
Yeah, I love the use of the ECUs.
Yeah.
They're very purposeful, and yep, we really feel that moment.
Yeah.
And don't tell me Damon is the one that pushed back on that.
Damon's completely supportive.
But yeah.
I'm like, we need the reverse show. I'm like, no, we don't. Why don't we need the? We already saw him.
Yeah.
We stay on Callum as he's fighting off the guy. I mean, again, this is that Saving Private Ryan moment, you know, when you're just like, I don't know. It was very intentional. I'm glad that you're picking up on the very intentional things here for sure. It's great.
They're adding another element. Because that's what we want to see. You know, we've got the shark.
Right.
We have the two sharks. We have the teeth.
Right.
We've got the blood. But we have limbs flying in air. But let's see what's happening up close and personal.
Right.
When you get man on man.
Right, exactly.
Knife on a piece of glass. Is a piece of glass going to win over a knife fight? In a knife fight?
Right.
You know, that
right,
kind of stuff. So I really like how the eye is drawn to that. In terms of the action sequences, I really, really like that aspect of the lensing here and your choices. But I do have to ask you, you're shooting over in Thailand, and I know that's Damon's playground over there.
Yeah.
How fun is it having Damon as your boots on the ground producer?
Oh, he's great. He's a blast. I mean, he was 100% supportive of my vision for this and the direction we were trying to go. And, you know, he was very supportive of a lot of the choices and kind of things that I needed to kind of pull off what we wanted to pull off. And, you know, a little shark movie with some scope and some style. And he was great.
I've talked to Damon many times before. I talked to Brandon Slagle many times before. And about shooting over there in Thailand and what Damon has really put together in terms of a film base over there.
Right.
When you go over there to shoot, knowing that you have a producer there with experienced film people there on the ground available to fill in all these positions, does that comfort to you at all? Does that help you as a director?
Yeah, of course. I feel safe, obviously. Not physically safe. I mean, obviously, that too. But I feel that, you know, the things that we need will be delivered professionally. And, you know, it gives me the opportunity to execute what I need to execute.
You shot over in Thailand. You said that you did. You built the one set, the underwater, the shipwreck, in tanks in Bangkok. Where were Dreyfus's scenes shot?
La Jolla.
Okay. Because it's so bright and beautiful and white sand. And I like how Niccolo blew the light out so that it's everything with him. It's very the GE bright white light bulb.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely wanted to have, you know, Dreyfus have a different feel.
It's almost like an angelic, an ethereal kind of tone that you're giving us with his scenes. But just an amazing, amazing job, Christian. I really love this film. Who wrote, I've got to know, who wrote Dreyfus's end credit?
Oh, we did.
Just wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that, you know, he and I kind of worked together on and crafted what needed to be said and what he felt he needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dreyfus, you know, I think this whether he does another Shark movie or not, I mean, I think he definitely felt that this is his time to say what he needed to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I just loved it. I was riveted and loved listening to what he had to say.
Yeah, for sure.
And perfect person to do it. So at the end of the day, now that last question for you here, it's a big one. So at the end of the day, now at the movie, everybody can see it. You've made it through it. You've gone from inland and deserts now. You've tackled the open sea and boats. What did you learn about yourself as a filmmaker in tackling the challenges of Into the Deep that you can now take forward into your future works?
I think managing multiple landscapes, right? So I'm talking like the ability to now feel comfortable understanding the process of using heavier VFX in environments that I'm not used to. So I think the confidence comes through with any new VFX driven films and environments. I feel like I understand the planning process now of how to execute that, or at least I understand it better enough to really take the lessons learned from here and play in a different medium. I mean, it's the medium of film, but maybe environment is the right word.
Mm-hmm. Will you go back into the water again to shoot?
Not anytime soon. I mean, it was extremely challenging.
And I do have to know, how much of the budget was for Dramamine?
Luckily, I did not get seasick.
Did anyone else?
No, not too bad. The water was pretty safe, but it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad.
Shocker.
Oh. Yeah, me too. I really thought, I was like, well, I'll know in a day how this whole thing is going to go. I'll tell you what, it wasn't the motion. I mean, on this, what it is, it wasn't the rocking motion of the seasickness that was challenging. What it is, it's the light, right? It's the boat moves. So for every shot, we're like, oh my gosh, the horizon's here. We got to move the boat to get in the right light, to get in the right backdrop. So you'd shoot a scene and all of a sudden the boat moves, right? Because the water is, it's, you're moving. So you have to move the boats for a lot of setups where you wouldn't have to do that normally. So we were constantly moving these boats for in between these scenes because the backdrop moves, the light shifts, because you're at the boats on water and it's constantly turning.
Oh my God.
That's the part that's challenging, because it's like, you know, if you have a scene, you're shooting somewhere, you're like, okay, this is our setup. No, not on water, because it's constantly shifting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's the difficult part of shooting on water. It's constantly shifting and turning, and you're moving. Horizon changes, your lighting changes, so we had to constantly, in between setups, we'd go, okay, we're switching. Oh gosh, the background doesn't match. Now we got to move the boat to the left, and it was a whole thing. It's funny.
Well, next time, just shoot all of it underwater.
Yeah, that was the easy part.
That was the easy part.
It really was.
Oh, Christian, job well done. And
thank you so much. Oh, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today about Into the Deep. I hope we get to do it again in the future.
Absolutely.
And that was my exclusive interview with Christian Sesma, director of Into the Deep, talking about the challenges of shooting on water, the difficulty, the joys, the confidence that he gained. An important thing that I think a lot of filmmakers, first-time filmmakers, newer filmmakers may appreciate is he talks about budgeting for insurance and safety. It's a really interesting interview that I hope you have enjoyed. That is all for today. We're not running over for an hour and a half. We're not doing anything like that. We're coming in under an hour with this first show back for year 11. But I'll have more for you next week. And I think that one is going to run over an hour. So look forward to that. But that is all the time we have. So until next time, I'm Debbie Elias. This is Behind the Lens.